The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that, of course, means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am your host for the evening. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray. Thank you all so much for being here with us tonight. Joining me at this time is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
And if you didn't know, which you should, unless this is, you know, first time tuning in, we, of course, are recording and broadcasting live as we record this at facebook.com/podzilla1985. Throw us a like, tune in. We just did a almost 20-minute pre-show for you where Dalton unboxed and reviewed the TNT Championship Double or Nothing Cody Rhodes, AEW Jazzwares figure. I had too many things in my head that were in the chamber getting ready to come out, and then they just...
And then it all just came out at once, unfortunately.
Came in, yeah. So if you want to know Dalton's thoughts on that new special edition Cody figure, go back, watch the VOD, because you can do that, and come hang out maybe next week. Which, by the way, I'm going to get this out of the way right now. Next week is a national holiday. It's May 19th.
Jesus.
And you know we're going to have something special planned for you for Pro Wrestling Unscripted next week right here.
I'm not going to lie. Whenever I said I was closing on the house on May 19th, I didn't even think about it. And then Hunter in our legendary group chat said, Asa, you know what May 19th is? And I said, shit.
Oh, see, I already knew. Like, I was already, like, I knew I was wanting to do a thing, and which I may or may not already have that thing ready to go. Dalton hasn't seen it, so it's gonna be a surprise to him too.
Nope.
But if you, I understand you don't like to use Facebook, you want to watch AEW, you want to not NXT anymore, but you want to watch AEW live. I get it. But pull up your phone, open up Facebook on your phone, and have the video ready just for a little bit, because I promise you, I'm overhyping this, but it will be worth it, and it will get a smirk out of you.
I'm excited. Because it's one of those things, Asa knows what tickles me, and he's hyping it up for me, so I'm like, oh no, he's gonna make me happy with this, at least.
It's gonna be stupid, and I'm very excited to do it, so. Yeah, but that's gonna be next week. We got plenty to talk about this week, though. It was a pretty stacked week of news in the world of professional wrestling, so we're gonna get right on into it. The first story that came out a little bit earlier this week is that AEW has announced that they are going to begin resuming their live touring schedule starting in July. It is going to be July 7th, they'll be in Miami. July 14th, they will be in the greater Austin area. And then July 21st, they will be in the greater Dallas area. So it's not a... And those are the only dates that they've really announced in concrete so far. There will be makeup... They have announced a couple dates for makeup shows. There was a show supposed to be in June in St. Louis. That is going to be now in November of this year. And then a New Orleans show was also announced that was is going to take place in January of 2022. So there's still a little bit more time to wait if you're waiting to get those shows, make up those shows. But they're back on the road. They're back to touring. Those are the only dates that they have so far. I'm sure they're going to, you know, depending on how those go, how those sell, and also make sure, you know, no one gets sick, that they will continue to go elsewhere, you know.
Yeah, and it's important to know, if you go to these shows, please follow all the guidelines that they are asking you to follow. Because,
yeah, don't be difficult.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, they don't have to do this. I don't think AEW is probably hurting for money right now because these TV deals are really what kept these companies afloat. And
you know, there's at least two of these that sold, so.
Yeah, four of them, because Red Daniels has texted me his display, and he has one in and out of box.
Hell yeah.
So I know four of them have sold at least, enough so that they're on, like, their third back order. But, like, these companies are coming back to live dates, and it's not like an indie show where, like, if somebody gets sick at CCW, we don't want that to happen, but, like, not a lot of people are going to go on Facebook and Twitter and dump on us. To whereas that's definitely going to happen to AEW and WWE whenever they return. So if there's like a mass like number dump,
if there's an outbreak or something,
yeah, right after a show, that's going to look bad on them. So if you go, and like I haven't heard at AEW because they've been like half open at dailies for months now.
I believe Double or Nothing, when that show hits, is supposed to be full capacity.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be like the first full capacity show that they're running.
Yeah. And if you go to that, have a good time, enjoy it, because it's the first time that we've gotten live wrestling aside from WrestleMania, like at that level. But mm-hmm. man, listen to everything they're asking you to do. If they ask you to put your mask on, just put your damn mask on. Like, don't be a dick about it. They don't have to do this. Because again, AEW is only putting out more content. They haven't stopped content since COVID. If anything, they've added two new shows. Well, I think they were doing AEW Dark before.
Dark was already a thing, but yeah, they added Dark Elevation.
Yeah, and like, so they obviously have proved like they don't really need to do the touring thing, but they're doing it for the fans and to get their names back out there. Don't be a piece of shit. That's my easiest way to say it. It's just, and I know you are agreeing with my sentiment on this, just don't be a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, and comicbook.com, Double or Nothing 2021 will mark the first time since Revolution 2020 that the Jacksonville-based promotion will run an event at capacity.
Yeah.
So, assuming it sells out, there were reports that apparently the AEW taping, since they've been in the same arena for so long, the ticket sales have started to take a dip because people aren't necessarily going back every single week. They're not spending the money to go back every single week.
Man,
which makes sense.
I would,
but
if I had...
Oh yeah, no, it's like how bitter I was at the Impact Zone and those people. Like, they got a dedicated awesome pro wrestling show every yeah. single week that for the longest time, all is if like so if you had a season pass to Universal Studios, you got to go for free, because it was just like, I'm pretty sure admission to those were free, you just had to be in the park.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm correct.
Pretty sure that's how that went. Except for like the pay-per-views and stuff, I think they did charge. And you know, definitely fun TNA story that's a total tangent. And it's TNA, not Impact. Very worth noting. But they had like a college campaign to where they wanted you to go out and spread the word and like really get people to know what TNA is, especially when they had a live event coming.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my friends, Lee and Justin... in college, we signed up, and I'm pretty sure our friends Darren and oh my god, why am I blanking on Lindsay's husband's name? Trevor. Darren and Trevor. Dear Lord, my brain turned off. I feel terrible now. We I think they were part of it too, but we signed up for that, and they sent us all this like material, including like a quadruple XL t-shirt and something, but the flyers they sent us to hang up for it had the wrong arena on them. It said the St. Louis Family Arena instead of the Show Me Center.
Well, that's two different things.
So we had to print off and like resize a bunch of Show Me Center like replacement photos, cut them out, and paste them over the flyer they sent us before we hung them up and passed them out.
TNA loved y'all.
That was some peak like TNA.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think it was
totally unrelated.
I think it was the second time they went to the Show Me Center was peak TNA.
Yeah, that's fair. Because I think this was the first show. This wasn't that show. Because I definitely went to that first show. Because, yeah, it was James Storm blew us a kiss, and that was like the highlight of our experience.
Oh, man. What was it? Thoughts, words. Oh, yeah, no, it's what they used to do for the WCW back in the day. They used to run out of the Disney lot. So if you were at Disney, they would just let you in.
Which is cool. Like,
Eric Bischoff hated it. He was like, you just get a bunch of drunk parents that didn't want to be out in the sun. And I bet that was a nightmare.
I'm sure that makes sense. But I like the idea of having like a dedicated area that you can just run shows out of all the time. Which, again, that's like touring also brings in money because people get a chance to actually like go to the shows and that wouldn't normally get to. And I understand that it's a business decision that they need a tour, but I like that idea of having like a home base. It's part of why like CCW and the arena building always like was such a good fit, because one, that's a great vet, it's a great venue for wrestling, and two, like, it did give you it's you know, the bingo hall at the ECW arena.
Yeah,
it's iconic.
You can build off of that. We don't get a jump off the shit as much as they do.
You could if you weren't a coward.
And also if I just didn't like my Missouri license anymore.
I have seen plenty of people jump off of things there.
We've changed the format of the building. So, it's sectioned off now. Because somebody mentioned that for a match next month. They said, well, there's going to be enough of us. You could probably jump off the balcony. And I'm like, it's guarded off now. Also, thanks for volunteering me.
Are you scared of... So you're just saying like a velvet rope will stop you?
No, or, I'm saying that I'm...
You're so strong.
I'm deathly afraid of heights, Asa. We've had this exact same conversation multiple times. I'm deathly afraid of heights.
I know I'm being mean to you.
But yeah, no.
But back on track. Yeah. AEW is beginning their touring. So if you're in the Texas area, the Austin or Dallas area, which there's, you know, they're starting relatively close from Jacksonville to Miami, and then a couple weeks there back to back in Texas. So, but get your tickets. Just like I said, follow their guidelines. Be as safe as possible. You know, we're not out of the woods yet. So, but we're not just going to harp on that for too long.
Don't be a dick.
Where did everything go? Uh-oh. Nope, we're back.
Yeah, but say it's in our Discord.
This next one is interesting. I don't know what to make of it. I'm just going to read from... It's from Deadline by Eric Peterson. John Cena is set to narrate and produce and write, apparently, a new WWE series for Peacock called WWE Evil. WWE Evil is described as a psychological expose into the minds of the most diabolical antagonists in WWE history and their impact on mainstream culture. Wrestler actor Cena is writing the project and will also narrate and executive produce.
I'm down for it.
I mean, so what? I don't know what this is. So I'm assuming it's going to be like a kayfabe look into the mind of, like, they probably won't do him, even though they should, but since he's with AEW now, he's kind of off limits. But like a fantastic one would be on Jake Roberts. Of just like, okay, so here's a psycho who's just like outright evil.
I'm hoping that episode
because am,
one
am
is...
Am I crazy? Or is Jake Roberts now when as close to a face as he's pretty well almost ever been?
He was a face in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because didn't Earthquake kill a snake?
Yep.
Earthquake that's right. squashed okay. it. I take it.
He killed Damien.
I take that back. He's such an iconic bad guy, though. I always forget that he did have a face run.
Wait.
Or that he was a face at all.
Michaela, who's coming back in a couple of weeks on Raw? Because I don't think it's Jake, because I think he's very much...
No, it's definitely not Jake. Jake Roberts, there's no way he's showing back up to WWE, unless you mean Cena could be showing up for something.
It could be Cena. Yeah, my bad. So I'm not gonna lie, my Safari, which is my internet browser for super awesome Apple, keeps freezing up our video. So if you see me messing around, it's because I'm refreshing my page to make sure I'm still.
No, you're
video.
Fine.
But
as long as your Discord calls up and the feed pulled up here, so we should be good.
But no, I'm here for it because it looks like it's going to be a kayfabe, like the mind of Roddy Piper. And then let's talk about the Rock and wrestling connection. Like, I am here for it. And it's Cena, so it's somebody that's in the business that, like, WWE isn't going to let do, he's not going to do dumb shit intentionally. But it's Cena with WWE's service. Well, not WWE service, but the service they're in. I'm here for it. It'll be a fun 25-minute watch.
I'm excited to see what it is. I'll definitely check out the first one. Because we don't really have any details on, you know, when it'll air, when it's going to shoot, when it's going to be, who it's going to cover, how many episodes we're even going to get. I do have a real good conspiracy theory for you.
Okay, hit me with it.
And I want to preface this by saying, I know that this is stupid.
Okay.
And I know that this isn't what they're doing. But do you remember the Edge versus Randy Orton match?
The greatest wrestling match ever.
And part of the reason behind them doing that was because when someone Googled the greatest wrestling match of all time or the greatest wrestling match ever,
it just clicked. It just clicked.
They could control what came up whenever you searched that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, if someone were to search, is WWE evil? Hey, look, John Cena is talking about The Undertaker.
I didn't even think of that.
Like, oh, look, the corporate ministry, weren't they bad?
They were evil.
Yeah. So I know that's what they're not doing. But what if that's what they're kind of, like, what if that's just a bonus point? Like
that I need you to know that I didn't think that was what they were doing until, like, 3 minutes ago.
Until I said it.
Yeah, because now that you say it, that's definitely what they are doing.
Wait until next year when they announce Ted DiBiase's hosting WWE. Shady business.
They will have
Jesse
a
Ventura
show.
Jesse Ventura starring in WWE. Lying to Congress.
I was going to go with Blood Money next.
Yeah, no.
But that also works.
Oh, no, that's going to be a show. That's going to be... It's going to be...
That's a paper.
They're going to combine Extreme Rules and Money in the Bank. WWE, Blood Money.
Blood Money.
Oh. They need to hire me. I'm on fire right now.
Oh, I love so, that shirt so much, Asa.
Oh, no, it's so good. For the audio listeners, I am rocking that Sammy for Syria dancing Sammy shirt.
There's been some awesome Sammy for Syria wrestling shirts. Like, he did the Sami Zayn versus El Generico, like, matchup shirt. That was awesome. Should have bought that one. This one blows it out of the water. I was telling him
honestly,
earlier,
that's the reason I bought this one, is because I missed... I didn't buy that one. And I was like, this one's too good.
I'm going to let it be known that this is in the top five of all-time wrestling shirts. And it's because I can't tell you one better right now, but I know somebody will say it, and I'll be like, yeah, I guess that one's better technically. But that's my favorite wrestling shirt of all time, I'm pretty sure. Because it's not a wrestling shirt. That's the best part. We had this conversation about
it.
No,
yeah, it's just
week.
Weird. This is just a weird ginger dude in a salmon suit jacket and black pants seemingly just having, like, just breaking it down.
The time of his life.
Oh, he's having a blast. I honestly, I'm excited to hear more about this WWE evil. We're shifting back. Yeah. No tangents. I'm excited to hear more about this show and when it comes out and, you know, just how are they go? I wonder if they're going to try to, like, retcon certain storytelling things or, you know, paint people in a, you know, are if they do a Roddy Piper episode, are they going to, you know, because he's gone now, like, are they going to try to, like, oh no, he was an irredeemable bastard. But then just be like, but the man behind the character, like, is it going to be a character versus actor? Is it going to be strictly in kayfabe? Like, I have a lot of questions about this thing.
I need you to know whenever you said paint him in a different light, I said, like, he painted half his body and gotten taken off Peacock. And then that was just right where my brain went. And I was like, maybe they're going to try to explain how that wasn't bad.
That's how they're going to have to try to get it back onto the Peacock, is they have to use the clip.
But yes.
Although I think it was, I don't know if it was recent or not, but I saw a thing on Twitter or Reddit or something where Mr. T was like, someone asked him about Roddy Piper and if they ever made amends. And he was like, no, we never really had a problem. We were trying to sell a wrestling show and I had to be like, oh, I hate this dude. I'm going to get him.
But that, like, is never what
they
Piper
were always
said.
Cool.
That is never what Piper said.
Oh, really?
In and out of, like, shoot interviews, he did not seem very fond of that man. But it also could have just been the salty old wrestler being like, well, I had to work this guy that didn't know how to work. Which, like, that's never fun. Not that I've ever been in that situation, but I can imagine it's a nightmare.
Okay. From Wrestling Inc., I just found it. Jason Ohnpreisuth? Oh my god, I butchered that name. I'm not going to try it again. WWE Hall of Famer Mr. T was on today's episode of the Wrestling Inc. Daily. Wrestling Inc. managing editor Nick Hausman asked Mr. T about his memories of the first WrestleMania where he teamed up with Hulk Hogan to take on Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. I don't want to go through the whole interview. I'm just going to look for issues with problem. Feud with Piper and would culminate in a boxing match at WrestleMania 2. The feud was heated on camera, but Hausman asked Mr. T what their relationship was like off camera. He was the ultimate professional, Mr. T stated. Later on, people threw out we had a beef or whatnot, but no, we were trying to promote something else. So I had to come out and say, yeah, I don't like Piper. I'm going to get him. And this and that. Something was going to happen, but it didn't happen.
Which again,
we were setting the stage because we were trying to sell tickets. I learned from Muhammad Ali, you got to promote it. You got to sell it. And that's the whole thing. You don't want to give people too much. You want to give them enough. You want to make them excited, make them believe, hey, I want to see that. He was a professional. He was good. He was a scholar. He wrote stuff down and prepared. You'll notice that when he got into the camera to say stuff, he had it together. Some wrestlers, they can't really sell it that good. Well, he could sell it. That's what Ali was. He was a promoter. He could sell it. He was an entertainer. And that's what Piper was. He was an entertainer and he was tough. He knew the business. He knew his toughness.
I'm gonna need you to stop because it's Mr. T quoting something, and that man only speaks in duplicate. I forgot to do it this year, but I like making it a point to share his Hall of Fame speech talking only about his mom for 5 minutes. And I say,
yeah, it was adorable.
It's never an insult. I need you to know it's never an insult, but I always say, I feel the same way about my mom that Mr. T feels about his mom. And it's the sweetest thing. But hearing you read that, I'm just like, I love my mama on Labor Day. I love my mama on Father's Day. Like, but yeah, no. But again, it wouldn't surprise me if Piper was just working us to the grave. Because again, it was Piper. His mania was not confined to the ring. All right. But we can move on past it. I hope Piper's the first episode, though. That's an interesting character in wrestling that I feel always deserves more attention than he got.
He's one of those like easy cheat answers of the who should have won the world title and never did.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially like the WCW bullshit where he like won the match against the champion after the huge build, but it wasn't a title match on pay-per-view. Like, what the hell?
Thanks,
Eric. Anyway, moving on. We now have a date for SummerSlam. It is to be held on August 22nd, although we don't know where it's going to be yet. There are some rumors going around, but nothing has been confirmed, although apparently Madison Square Garden is being named. And honestly, that makes a lot of sense. You know, if most places can't do capacity crowds, Madison Square Garden is a smaller venue. It's one of the most historic venues of all time, not just in wrestling. Like, obviously, it's like holy ground for wrestling.
Yeah.
But it's also just like for music and comedians. Like, it's the Garden. Everyone knows Madison Square Garden.
It's where the Knicks play. Like.
Yeah. So, and WWE has kind of like, I'm not trying to say this disrespectfully, but for the number of tickets that they try to sell, especially for like big shows like WrestleMania and pay-per-views and even Raw and SmackDown, they've kind of outgrown the Garden.
It's also super important to note, apparently, that it's expensive as hell to film out of the Garden.
Yes.
That's what I've heard is the biggest issue, because you can film in small locations. It's not hard. But it's apparently super expensive to film out of the Garden, which I can understand. Apparently, like the parking, because it's New York City. It's everything in New York City is 10 times harder than it needs to be, but it's because it's the New York City is the living embodiment of packing 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag. And they do it well. I'll give them credit. Whoever designed that did it to where every square inch of New York City is utilized, but there's too much there. And like, so the parking in the Garden's apparently really difficult. Do you like the way that I said that?
No, I'm just picturing New York City expert Dalton Anthony. Yeah, how many times have you been to New York?
I went there for a week.
Oh, I was getting right into this.
I went there for a week. I accidentally said lived. I went there for a week.
I'm driving over there because you didn't live in New York, Houston. All right, Britta.
but yeah, no, I was there for a week. And it's one of those, like, there's, like, no parking anywhere. But, like, apparently all the parking is underneath the building. So like to get all of your like equipment and stuff up and out of that's probably like a real big old bitch. I think the last time they filmed anything out of there was the Raw reunion or the old school Raw where they did the two different.
I was going to say it was the thing where they did the two locations.
And Raw. one location
people at the
got
Garden got the shaft.
Yeah.
I think it was the Garden one.
I think you're right. Yeah. But
I think it was the people at the Garden were the ones that got the like real, they watched like 80% of the show on a screen and then had like the Undertaker come out.
Yeah. And I think DX was there in Scott Hall. Did you know, the senior New York correspondent Dalton Anthony, that Saturday Night Live is actually built on a floating ground because there's a subway that goes directly underneath it. So they had to like cushion the floor in between. Mm-hmm. So it's not on like an actual foundation. I learned that from the NBC tour.
It reminds me of the way like the casino here in like, although pretty much all the casinos in Missouri are technically
on
built.
Water.
There's water.
They're all
them.
Boats.
Yeah. They're technically, boats. Even though it's a building, it's technically a boat.
Yeah.
That's always a fun thing. So, but yeah, so SummerSlam's cool. You know, it's one of the big four. It's the arguably, depending on who you ask, it's potentially even the number two show of the year WWE does. I say arguably just because obviously WrestleMania is number one. And as far as it's a personal preference for me, but I would put Royal Rumble at number two. just because that's my one of my favorite shows of the year.
I think it's because
it also is the one that builds directly into WrestleMania.
Yeah, because usually like wrestling always has a down period every summer. So mm-hmm. it's like it's the party of the summer, although like we really didn't watch wrestling for like the last 4 months. So
yeah.
I mean, Lesnar's gonna be there. That's cool, isn't it?
Summerfest.
Jesus. But yeah, I know. So SummerSlam will be somewhere. That's awesome. I'm more excited about the next one.
Yeah, no, this next one I'm really, really excited about. We have confirmation that NXT In Your House is returning. Happy birthday to me, almost. It'll be June 13th, that Sunday. And they also announced that Todd Pettengill is coming back to host it.
They did that.
Someone made a comment, I don't know if it was Facebook or if it was Reddit or wherever it was, but was like, oh, I can't wait for Candace and Johnny to show their kids their home. This is my house. You can't come.
The best thing coming out of that was Johnny Gargano before his entrance going and setting the thermostat to 69 and then looking at the picture of Doc Hendricks, Michael Hayes, mm-hmm. and then giving it the wink and the gun. Like, it's stupid, and I understand that I have the humor of a 12-year-old boy. But man, that was so good. And the stage was good. That whole show was solid from what I remember. There was a lot of great matches. NXT's like takeovers are amazing. And I just love that they're finally reusing the In Your House name.
This isn't really a conspiracy theory as much as a prediction. So just from what's been happening recently on NXT, not a prediction, I'm just going to ask you as a question. What do you think the title matches, the NXT Championship match is going to be? Do you think it's going to be Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor in a rematch? Or what my prediction is, do you think it's going to be Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano?
I think it's going to be Kross versus Balor.
I could see it as well. So basically what I think is going to happen is I think they're going to do Balor's rematch on free TV. To like, hey, this is a big deal. We're going to push that. We're going to announce this match like 2 weeks in advance. That's going to be the match. And I think there's going to either be shenanigans or Kross is just going to beat him clean again.
Yay.
I do think because it's a cage match next week for the North American Championship, Bronson Reed versus Gargano. I do think Reed could take the title there because Gargano has already, those seeds have already been planted and we've already seen the interactions between Gargano and Kross now. You know, he beat Theory last night, and then the week before, they both jumped him during that segment with Dunn and Balor and O'Reilly. So, or it could be, like you said, Balor, Kross, In Your House. We finally get that Dexter Lumis-Gargano match if he retains against Reed, and then Lumis takes the title off of him at that takeover. And then he gets put to the main event.
Because like I love Bronson Reed. I think he's an amazing talent, but
I do too.
I don't think they are seeing the potential money in him yet. If that makes sense.
He's also. Oh no, I disagree. I disagree entirely. I think that they have been pretty much as soon as he got the nickname the Colossal Bronson mm-hmm. Reed, they have been grooming him to be a major player.
That's what,
and I do think. And if he was challenging next week for the NXT title, I would 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's going for the North American title. And I do think this is the time because he's over. He's doing really, really good work. And I think this is the time to put the belt on him.
Yeah. And again, I need you to understand that I said money yet. I mm-hmm. see that they have things for him, but I think it's always a step thing, and that belt is a big step. They do treat that North American title with a lot of prestige. Like, that belt does mean something in NXT. There hasn't been a lot of, like, shenanigans with it where it feels like it's, like, muddled at all. Like, that belt, that belt still feels important. So it's one of those where...
Yeah, since they've introduced it, it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like a second-class title. Like, you know, how many times... Quick, you have 3 seconds. Who's the United States champion right now? One.
Riddle?
Two. Three. Wrong. Sheamus.
Oh.
Sheamus beat Riddle at WrestleMania. Who's the Intercontinental champion?
Cruz.
There you go. Okay. Right. So, but like, and granted, this is a bad time to make that example because Sheamus is doing, like, he's doing the open challenge, but not for title stuff on Raw, which I think is funny. And cool, and we've gotten some cool stuff out of it. More on that later. And Cruz, and it was just Big E, and the Intercontinental Championship was treated as a huge deal when Big E was both chasing it from, you know, Sami Zayn, and when he won it, and then defending it against Cruz. The U.S. title, Bobby Lashley had it. He was a dominant champion for a little bit. So, you know, they've been doing a better job of their secondary titles, but we both know that there were times where it's like, okay, so this person's been champion for like 100 days and they've defended it 3 times.
Big E's first Intercontinental title reign.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly.
Which, like, in total fairness, Sheamus may have been the U.S. title holder at that time too.
Who knows? So, but the North American Championship has always felt like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and it's only been around for, well, actually, now that you say only, it's been around for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years. Yeah, because when we were at Mania 2018. But yeah, no, it's always felt like a big deal. So it's one of those where I'm like, I could see them holding off a little bit on Bronson Reed. I don't think they should. I think the dude has all the potential in the world. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I could see them being like, we're going to hold off a little bit longer, maybe give it to Dexter, and then give you guys something. Because right now you have two feuds going on with Johnny Gargano, and I think the more interesting one, storyline-wise, is the Loomis. Personally, for me, match-wise, I like the Reed stuff more.
I will say, the Dexter-Loomis stuff doesn't require the title. And I would even make the argument that now that Bronson Reed has been the guy having the matches against people like Theory and Gargano, the storyline is now more Dexter Lumis Indy Hartwell,
yeah,
than it is Dexter Lumis Gargano. You know, they've kind of pivoted away from that. He's still there, and we're still getting the really good stuff of with, you know, Candice LeRae closing the blinds and hiding the gifts and things like that. Your camera just froze and then caught up, and it was like a horror movie.
Oh, because I looked because that way and.
Yeah, because you were here, and then it just, like, out of nowhere, you did the real fast, like, movement, and I was just like, what? That was frightening
for me. I'm a ghost.
Anyway, I'm excited for that match on Wednesday. Like, excited to watch that replay on Peacock. So, because NXT is still not live streaming simultaneously, right?
I don't think it can. I think it's still on the USA Network.
It's only on USA first, and then it goes to Peacock later. That's right, it was just the two-night takeover that the second night was on. I'm remembering. But hey, June 13th, NXT in your house. Very, very excited. In much more unfortunate news, although all things considered, this news could be a whole lot worse.
It's
Ricky Starks is out with an injury. He has a slight fracture in his neck. He is expected to miss 3 months of 3 months of in-ring action. But it seems that he will not require surgery.
Also, and I get that it's a minor fracture, but we said minor injury, a small fracture in his neck.
Oh, did I say minor injury?
I mean, that's...
Oh, I did not mean to say minor injury.
No,
it's a minor fracture. But still, yeah, you're right. It's a fracture in your neck.
And they're treating it like a minor injury. That's what I should have said. Sorry, because you did say minor fracture. But they are treating it like a minor injury by saying only 3 months. He has a... All right. People that aren't... medical professionals, from what I've been told, a fracture means broken. Homeboy has a broken neck and is going to be only out for 3 months. Now, I understand that means that it's a small break, like it's a smaller break compared to what it could have been. So, I mean, all things considered, super grateful that it's that. Happy that he doesn't need surgery. Happy that this is good. It's an inconvenience that could be a lot worse. So, like, super grateful that it's that. I'm assuming this is on, who threw that suplex? Was it Hangman? Cause I feel like it was
Hangman. Yeah. Cause it was his match with Hangman, Page.
Where he yeeted him on a German suplex and dude ended up on his feet because he landed so high that the momentum from his body, like he landed on his neck. The momentum was so high and so fast that he literally just went right to his feet. He didn't roll. He bounced to his feet. That is fucking scary.
I don't understand, like, all the props to him for one, like, I don't know, that's borderline inhuman. And granted, we're not doctors, we don't know, there's different levels to it. If it was that bad, clearly he would be requiring surgery, he would be unable to move. It's just a, you know, this seems more of a precautionary, like, hey, he might be able to, you know, move like normal and things like that. He just, you don't want to aggravate a broken neck, a fracture. You don't want to make that fracture worse.
Because again, let's reiterate, Kurt Angle won a gold medal with one of those. So like, obviously there's different levels to it. Fortunately, it seems like it is on the lesser end of things. Cause if it's only a 3-month layoff, like that just sounds like you just need your stuff to heal up and you'll be good. Give it time to reset, like make sure there's no like actual structural damage going on. And then you're just back to normal, or as normal as you can be. Hopefully it's as normal as possible. But
well, I mean, it would have to be normal, because otherwise then, cause you know, if it does get that, if that 3-month time hits and he doesn't clear or something's still off, like he's going to have to miss even more.
Yeah.
So you don't want to like rush into things, or, oh no, I feel great, I can do it. And then he's gone for a year or
ever.
Even worse, permanently. Yeah.
Yeah. But happy that it's only 3 months, upset that he's injured, but man, that I remember seeing that, it was like 2 weeks ago, a week or two ago. I think Jay Spade said it to me and I said, well, shit, that's legit scary. Cause like, I don't like that move anyway. I don't
German.
Yeah. I've taken maybe 2 of them in my entire like career, which I know I that's not a big deal, but like that is a move that I say I don't want to do. I tell people that. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you like hitting Germans, I'm not the person to do it on, because they scare me and I don't like it's, you're going backwards. You really don't have all the control in the world to do them. And mm-hmm. like I got hurt on one. And I got hurt by somebody I trust a whole lot in the ring. And I, like, it shot here, and I, like, couldn't move my head for a day.
Mm-hmm.
It was real bad. That move scares me because there's so much that you don't have control of while getting thrown that way.
Right.
And you're getting thrown that way and going that way. So it's a lot scarier than it sounds. Like, a lot of people are just like, why don't you like Germans? And it's like, because it's a fucking scary move.
No, it's something that people really take for granted, and it's why I will never wrestle. Like, I have an opportunity. Like, if I wanted to drive to Stride to train, I could. If I wanted to sign up for, you know, the CCW training ground stuff, I could.
Yeah.
Like, that opportunity is there. I have no desire to. Because even the most, like, mundane-looking, boring parts, you know, not what I would consider boring, but when you see people chanting boring, or, you know, the slow parts of a match, like, all of that stuff is super dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a safe, 100% safe way to do pretty much anything. And it's, like, it's so easy for fans to take that for granted.
Yeah.
And something like a German suplex, ultimately, pretty commonplace. You go to a wrestling show, you turn on AEW, you know, what's the over-under of German suplexes on AEW tonight? 6?
Yeah, I mean, a good chance. If you see Brock Lesnar, there's 6 in a match. And it's one of those, like, don't get me wrong.
You see Brock Lesnar on AEW, you got, but that's a bigger news story.
But I'm just saying, like, don't get me wrong, guys. If you saw me on WWE, never will happen. And I'm wrestling Brock Lesnar, never will happen. I'm doing German suplexes. I'm taking them all day.
Now, he heard what you said. He requested you.
Yeah, like, oh, well, that's going to be, well, I mean, at least.
Oh, like, you would have a choice. If Brock Lesnar
you're just going. It's just, that's how that works. That's an actual move. Like, there's just some moves in wrestling that are real. I may not jump for them, but that's going to make it worse. You know who's going to jump? This guy. Because, yeah.
You wouldn't need to. Wasn't it, it was Billy Hills talking about his match with Jeff Cobb.
Yup.
And he was just like, so do I need to, like, give you anything? He's just like, no, I got you.
I think he said, get up on your tippy toes. Which, like, I've wrestled guys like mm-hmm. that. Roger Mathis is one of those guys. Do I need to jump? You can.
It's like, you don't need to.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I don't need you
and
to.
And he just up and over, and it's scary every time. But yeah,
I'm just gonna decide where you go.
Yeah, but I'm, again, back to the important thing, happy that Ricky Starks is only like out for 3 months. Hopefully that sticks. Hopefully his neck is as good as it can be right now. And he can be back, because I mean, the dude is, I think the good thing with him is he's one of those talents that he can still be on AEW TV every week as long as they stay in dailies, because I don't want him traveling,
and he could be
and talk and be perfectly fine.
Honestly, I honestly think that at the end of this 3 months, what we're going to end up getting is that match with Christian.
Yeah.
Like, did they wrestle already? No, he wrestled. Yes. No?
I don't remember. Didn't he wrestle Hobbs?
I know he wrestled Hobbs for sure.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
But like,
either
if they do that
If they already did it, do it again.
Yeah, and you can build it just by having him talk for 3 months. Because the dude is like, Ricky Starks is probably one of the more,
he's such a well-rounded member of
that roster.
Say, like,
I was going to say underrated.
Asset.
I was going to say underrated, but I was like, that's not a good word, because like they use him in really good ways. But like he is that kind of person that just, he's a utility player in baseball. He can play shortstop, second base, third base. You just put that guy where you need him.
He's not underutilized, but I would consider him underrated, especially when it comes to his talking ability.
Okay.
I think a lot of people know like what he can do in the ring. It's just, you know, on the microphone, people don't think that he's not good. I just don't think they realize how good he actually is.
Fair. Okay. That's fair.
And plus, you know, with him being associated with Team Taz, you can stretch that 3 months, no problem, between Hobbs, Brian Cage, Taz himself, Hook. Like, you know, there's all sorts of ways you can go with that. So, but yeah, speedy recovery to him. Hopefully it's he gets back as thoroughly healed as possible. Next bit of news that is probably what I am most excited about out of anything that we're going to talk about all week. The New Day, our Power of Positivity comic book, is coming in July. Let me pull this from CBR.com from Tim Adams. WWE's New Day are starring in their very own comic. The WWE The New Day Power of Positivity is a 2-issue limited series releasing in July by writers Evan Narcissi, Rise of the Black Panther, and Austin Walker, Friends at the Table, and artist Daniel Bayless, who did art for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series.
Which was a good book.
And this is also coming from, this is coming from Boom Studios, which already has the ongoing WWE.
I don't think it's ongoing anymore. I think it's gotten canceled.
Was it? Okay. They used to.
They had it, but I don't think they're doing it anymore.
The listing of it is Kingston, Woods, and Big E have collectively won 11 tag team championships in WWE, including the longest reign in WWE history. This new series will allow fans to discover the origins and struggles of the three WWE superstars before that fateful day when they realized they were... That fateful day when they realized they were together than apart.
Better together than apart, I'm assuming, is what they
must be better, but better is not in there.
Yeah.
Also, just to cut, and then the CBR.com, the story has a lot of art coming from it, including something that looks kind of funny in the sense that it looks like they have swapped Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins because it has Rollins hitting a spear on Woods and Reigns hitting what looks like a missile dropkick on Big E.
No, Reigns, that's part of his moveset, man. Big dog.
Well, Rollins is well known for his finisher, the spear. And also because it looks like the Shield is going to play a heavy part in this.
well, two of them
they are. They do show the triple power bomb, and there's just a... It's just a third set of, like, a lower body and legs. You don't see... And you see Reigns and you see Rollins. but they've swapped the order. So you know how Reigns was always the one giving the power bomb, and Ambrose and Rollins were on the side. Rollins and Reigns are now on the side, and you don't see the person giving the powerbomb.
I'll make this really quick. So in WWE 13, they did the Attitude Era, and Mike Tyson was actually the pre-order bonus for that game. So they do the showcase mode, and they have the Michaels Stone Cold match in there with Tyson ringside. And like it's actually Mike Tyson. He's all in there. Well, for WWE 2K14, so it was the first time 2K had it. It was Road to WrestleMania, and that Austin Michaels match is like one of the best matches of all time at Mania. So that's obviously in the game. They did not have the rights to Mike Tyson anymore. So what they did was used the same outfit, which was the jeans and the DX shirt that was cut in half, and it was just on a big buff Asian man. I will try to screenshot it and send it to you, but it is as funny as it sounds.
I mean, I guess that's better than just a generic black guy.
Yeah, I'm going to say, but it's comical.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. That's weird.
Keep talking, but I'll shoot you a picture.
But I'm excited for this. Talk to your local comic book store. I've already sent an email out to Villainous Grounds to see if I can get one of these. So I'm excited for it. It'll be fun. I love the New Day so much. Next up, we have some good news, is that Botchamania, Matthew's well-known, well-beloved YouTube series highlighting the mistakes made in the world of pro wrestling. He has a YouTube channel that seems to be like stable right now, because when I was... My Botchamania was you had to find the new YouTube channel
every other episodes
because they kept getting the channels kept getting canceled and deleted. So I think he's on more stable footing now. But he was hit by multiple copyright strikes, and his channel was actually deactivated due to a third strike. His channel is not the only one that was affected. AEW's own music channel was hit with it. It seemed like there was a bot. Something happened, and it was claiming a bunch of things that it shouldn't have. It was all a mistake. It wasn't done maliciously. Matthew himself tweeted out that like AEW was a pleasure and very easy to work with as they were trying to figure out what was going on their own side of things. Aubrey Edwards herself even said that like, hey, we're not trying to like screw you over. This has been a mistake. We're trying to get it figured out.
There's a conspiracy going on right now with it because that there was like some super critical chick on YouTube that was super critical of AEW got copyright struck. That was the one that Tony Khan was just like, I mean, if you want to use the things that I spent millions of dollars to produce, that happened like a month or two ago. And then you have this happen a month later. They're able, like, so the shitty internet contingency that's just like super Jim Cornette jock writing are like, no, they definitely are meaning to do this. This is,
they're doing it to because it happened the week after the Blood and Guts finish got shit on, which I didn't have it on here, but I want to say one thing. Like, this is now two huge matches that could have had a lot of controversy around them avoided. Oh, what? Dalton just sent me the,
it was in 2K, Mike Tyson, it was in 2K16. I stand corrected.
Okay.
But that is Mike Tyson, Asa.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. Anyway, so obviously the exploding barbed wire match was what it was. They adapted, they explained its storyline. It was ultimately fine, but it was a bummer. This, I think, is less so because it's like, it's not like Jericho didn't take that massive fall.
Yeah, so
it's just they used probably the worst camera angle that they could have.
It could have been easily avoided with, and again, it's Chris Jericho. So if I would have pitched this and he'd have been like, yeah, I'm not doing that, I'd have been like, all right, cool, we're going to do what you want to do. But if you would have used like a super thin plywood, and I mean like super thin, and then painted it just black instead of that gray color and didn't put the diamond plate on it. And then if you would have had a crash pad that didn't have a blanket on it, that those two minor things would have been a world's difference.
Well, Jericho actually did an interview where he talked about it. And so it wasn't a crash pad. It was like a gymnastics mat, but it was on top of boxes. So that's why it was elevated.
Okay.
So, and I disagree. I think the plastic plating on it that was painted to look like the diamond plate, it would have been fine if they had done both sides. Because the issue was, as he's laying there and it's broken and now it's up like this.
Yeah.
This part, the top part, is that diamond plating, and then this is just, you know, the brown color of it. So
yeah,
but I think people are blowing it way out of proportion. It was a great match. It was what it needed to be. It's just there. And Shane and I were talking about this too. Like, there were other production problems with that match, like staying on Jericho while he was holding the blade, and like the commercial breaks were really poorly timed.
Yeah,
because even though it was picture in picture, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was more subtle, like Tully unlocking the cage, and like pretty much all of Wardlow's stuff was during the commercial break too. Like there was a lot of things that they're still finding their footing. They're relatively new. It does ultimately affect the product in a negative way, but I do think people are being way harsher on it than they really need to
because
be.
I'm gonna say two things on it really quick. For one, I would much rather Jericho be okay after that. That's why I said, like, the thin plywood painted it like a black instead would have made a world of difference, because you would have gotten that satisfying break. It wouldn't have been as harsh on the body, because like it's super thin. It would make that crash sound. And then if you just had like a crash pad that didn't have, well, it looked like a crash pad to me. That's why I said crash pad. But you saw like the fabric on top of it, so it looks like he fell on a bed. I don't know what he fell on. It looked like a crash pad to me. That's why I said it. But like if you would just,
I mean, that's what everyone has been calling it. Yeah, but.
So I'm in like a Discord for my supercard team, and they were talking about it. And I said, do me a favor, go back to the WrestleMania where Shane wrestled The Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell and watch the Shane bump. Look at the table he fell on. That thing was padded the hell up. That's not an insult. Because it's what Hunter said. The table was padded. Shane wasn't. You still have to fall from that. You still have to, like, there's a lot that goes into that that people don't think about. And it's like, no, I'd much rather it be safe. Yeah, is it kind of a bummer whenever I see how safe it really is? I mean, not really, because I'm happy to know that Jericho's going to walk after it. And it's one of those things where it's like, do you just want this motherfucker to die? Like, and I...
Yeah, no, people are dumb and just, they want to take something little and just run with it.
But, yeah, and how many things has Kevin Dunn effed up?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, people constantly are, you know, giving him stuff. You know, TV production is hard.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, this stuff isn't as easy as you want to think it is. So, but moving on, because we still got a lot to cover and not a lot of time left. Humberto Carrillo is reportedly okay following a close call on Raw. If you didn't see the match, it was Carrillo versus Sheamus, and Carrillo went for a sunset flip powerbomb on Sheamus on the...
To the outside.
To the outside. He landed awkwardly on Sheamus's knee. And... Or no. Sheamus landed on Carrillo's knee. His legs immediately like straightened out and stiffened. It looked really weird.
I thought it was a concussion. I thought he got a concussion. I thought he landed on his knee.
Oh, really?
I mean, because that's what your body does when you get it. Like, if you get knocked out, like, watch UFC
you just
fights.
Stiffen up.
Yeah, I thought he got... No, he was just straightening his leg because he thought he messed it up.
Yeah. Yeah, so he, like, immediately, like, locked out his legs. And you could even see him, like, gesture to the timekeeper, the announcers, or someone. And he does the, like, like,
which
stuff's not okay.
Good with him. Good on him.
Yeah, so the match was called there. You know, the doctors of the internet immediately were like, oh, you know, it could have been knees, but the way his legs stiffened, that could have been a tailbone or a pelvis or a hip issue. You know, a number of things could go wrong there.
Yeah.
But Meltzer, I think, is the one that reported that he's apparently doing okay. He's not supposed to miss any time. Hopefully this doesn't impact, you know, whatever story they had planned with him, because it was cool that he's finally getting used again.
Yeah.
And the way that they're using him is actually pretty cool. Sheamus obliterates him during his open challenge, and then he comes back for revenge instead of just, you know, showing back up on main event and nothing happened, which we've seen happen quite a bit for people. So good on that. He's not a wrestler anymore, but Batista has been added to the cast of Knives Out 2, and this is cool. Knives Out is a really, really good movie. I finally watched it a few months ago, and it was a ton of fun, even though I am not entirely sure what accent... Daniel Craig was going for Kentucky gentleman Chuck Taylor, but it was great and I am very excited. And also Edward Norton got added to the cast as well, but he didn't used to wrestle as far as I know, so we're only talking about Batista.
Nope. He used a curb stomp once.
That's very true. That is very true. That's I like that. I like that. Congratulations. Go ahead and give us a quick description of this heels and faces figures that you are showing up.
So it's basically the old Hasbro body molds of like the figures that are this big that do a one motion. They did the retros like it a couple years ago, and they did like 10 lands of that they cut out, but they're starting back up. Well, the guy that does a lot of work with Hawkins and Ryder, or Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, Zombie Sailor Toys, he is making his own figures finally. He does like the pins for him. So if you ever see the really cool Major Wrestling Figure Podcast pins that are super limited, Zombie makes all those, or at least gets them made. He's actually sculpting, like Zombie Sailor sculpted these, I think, and he's getting them produced. Wave one is going to get released all together. It is Brian Myers and Matt Cardona, and I'm not going to get those because they're going to sell out in 3 seconds because that fandom has gotten ridiculous. Dino Bravo, which is pretty cool. Sabu, which is the one that I'm probably going to get. And then the fifth one, which I think is the coolest, is Earl Hebner is getting his own figure that he's not going to have to sell out of the trunk of his car and get sued by somebody because it's going to be his.
Oh, he still will.
I mean, well, no, he's going to do it, but nobody's going to care because he's going to have to get them somehow. But yeah, they're Hasbro figures. I'm sure they're all going to have like one. I think Brian Myers is like a jumper that has a little bling, and you'll have the stomps and all that. It's a cool wave. I don't know how mass produced they're going to be. I don't think you're going to be able to get them anywhere other than Ringside Collectibles and ZombieSailor.com. Like they're not going to end up at Walmart, I don't think, because the retros didn't do good enough. And this is an indie toy developer. So like, you know, the Plunder rings that a couple of our friends like so much in our group chat, this is going to be smaller than that, I think. It's an indie toy like company doing this. I think it's cool. I think if they get the right people, it'd be a really successful line, especially if they're more in line with the old Hasbros and the retros. Because the retros are cool, but they do lack the character that the 1990 Hasbros have. Because, and if you ever come to the house, I'll show you the difference. I have the Macho Man Retro that was made like 2 years ago. And then I have the 1991 Randy Savage. Mm-hmm. And it's night and day difference. They're both cool in their own right, but the old Hasbros have such a cool design about them and the way that they're built. That's what these heels and faces figures look like they're going to be. It looks like they're going to be a lot more akin because they don't have to work with old body parts like Mattel was, because Mattel cost cut a lot of that. They were just using basic heads and plopping them on these figures. So they were a lot bulkier than what the old Hasbros were. But I'm super excited for them. I think it's neat. And that's
cool. It's a weird lineup for number one.
Cardona and Myers
makes sense because they're they are the wrestling toy guys. So yeah. But like Dino Bravo, Earl Hebner, and Sabu.
Yeah. The Sabu's doing the point up though. I'm gonna have to get it.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. What else would he be doing?
Yeah.
And then this weekend, WrestleMania Backlash. I will real quick plug, I am going to be doing the live reaction / watch along on my Twitch, twitch.tv/the5starman. So if you want to come and hang out and watch me obliterate Dalton Anthony in the predictions game yet again, it'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
I hate you. So bright,
so washed out. We're going to run down the card. We're going to do the predictions. Where is my notebook?
I'm pulling up the Google Doc.
I know you have that, but I want to keep it because I have to make the because I'm going to do what I did for WrestleMania, where I do an image list on each one. So I'll have to correct it, or I'll have to finalize it on that Saturday.
Okay.
I don't know what this is for, but I found an envelope with a note already written on it, and it just says chicken fried steak, green beans, fries.
Sounds right.
Oh, I remember what this is. This was Audra had a gift card to Texas Roadhouse, and she needed my order. Okay, moving on. So, this Sunday, WrestleMania Backlash. Dumbest name for a pay-per-view.
I hate it.
They moved Backlash back to, because for the longest time, like a decade, it was always the pay-per-view after WrestleMania, but now they're just like, in case you didn't get it, Backlash. See, okay, so Dalton. I'm going to explain this.
Say
you do an action.
I don't like it.
That I don't appreciate.
I don't like it.
When I retaliate.
Stop it.
My retaliation is called a backlash.
I don't.
You're facing a backlash. And WrestleMania was a thing that happened. Oh my God. Okay. Starting off with Damian Priest versus The Miz. And Damian Priest has decided he wants this to be a lumberjack match. And we'll just alternate who picks first. I'm going to let you do the first pick.
I'm going to go with Miz.
You're saying Miz?
Yeah.
I actually was thinking it's going to be Priest anyway, because they seem to be very high on him, and he's beaten Morrison, but The Miz keeps kind of one-upping him. I think this is going to be the... And also, I do think Morrison is going to do something to cost Miz the match, since we've started to see that tensions come out a little bit more. And everything else is a championship match, so that is the only non-title match we have. Again, so far... we still have SmackDown this Friday. SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Dirty Dogs, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, defend against Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. I think the Mysterios take this. I think they're going to become the first ever father-son tag team in WWE history.
And I think the Dirty Dogs are going to take it.
And then the Mysterios will just win it later?
Yeah.
That's fair.
I don't think that WrestleMania Backlash is the show that there's going to be like a major title moment where they're like, remember this moment in WWE history at WrestleMania Backlash?
I mean, I don't... One, they absolutely could, because who cares?
Fair.
Two, I don't think it's going to be that historic of a moment. It'll be a fun trivia card. Let's see. And then let's do... We have the Raw Women's Championship is set to be defended as Rhea Ripley defends against Asuka and Charlotte Flair, both in a triple threat match. Your turn.
I'm going with Rhea Ripley.
I am also going with Rhea Ripley.
Sorry, I'm typing all this out at the same time.
No, you're fine. I'm writing down my notes too. Okay, the SmackDown Women's Championship match, Bianca Belair defending against Bayley. I think this one is the easiest one of the night. I'm going with Bianca.
Same.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a... I don't think that one's a hot take. As much as I would love another Bayley reign, like, don't get me wrong, I don't think they're gonna end the as historic as WrestleMania was with Bianca Belair winning the title against Sasha Banks. I do not see them taking the belt off of her the next month.
No, that would be
to put it back on Bayley.
Such a waste.
The WWE Championship match, Bobby Lashley defends against Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Drew.
I was also going to do Drew, but that makes me kind of want to... You know what? No, Drew McIntyre was my first instinct, so that's who I'm going with as well.
It's gonna be Lashley now. I need you to see,
and that's the thing is, it's like I really do think it's gonna be Lashley, but like Strowman, I think is in there to kind of
he's gonna
disrupt that.
Yeah,
I don't see Strowman winning it. Like I think that would be if that could be my prediction is just like I don't know who's gonna win, but I know Strowman's gonna lose.
Yeah,
watch him actually be the one.
We know who's not walking out with the belt. So now that we say that, yes, he's going to walk out with the belt.
I'm even making a note, not Strowman, just to make that funnier. And then probably I would assume what is going to be the main event, the WWE Universal Championship is going to be defended as Roman Reigns defends against Cesaro, who is getting his first ever one-on-one match for a major championship because he's a former United States champion. I think he's a former Intercontinental Champion as well. But he's not. He's never competed for the world title.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I'm pretty sure he's never gotten that match, at least in a one-on-one.
I don't think so.
But I'm going Roman. Like, that seems like given.
I almost typed it for you, but I wanted to wait for you to say it. I put Reigns in the foot of a cry face.
Yeah, no. It. Yeah, it's that. Because believe me, I want you to understand this, internet. I love Cesaro. I want Cesaro to win. It would make me so incredibly happy if Cesaro is actually like won it here. But he's not. Let's be real. The whole Jimmy Uso not siding with Roman thing, they're going to rehash the whole Jay thing. It's a swerve. He's been on board all along. Ever since Jay bent the knee, Jimmy's been right there with him. And they're going to cost Cesaro the title. But again, we haven't seen SmackDown yet, so we don't know. But so I'm saying Roman. Dalton, I'm assuming you're Roman as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah, no. This is the one I want to be wrong on the most. So right now, there's six matches. We have 1, 2, 3.
Just the first two matches.
So, yeah, we're only disagreeing on the first two matches. We'll talk about it off the air, but because could still get an Intercontinental title match. We still could get a United States Championship match, maybe something on a pre-show gets announced, you know, like the Street Profits versus Gable and Otis gets added as a pre-show thing, something like that. So we'll get something figured out for a tiebreaker, or maybe it'll just be cumulative points. So, you know, since I won at WrestleMania, those points carry over, and then it's the most correct predictions at the end of it. We'll figure it out. We don't know yet. Nothing's set in stone. This is a show that when you see what I have in store next week, you will understand that this is a show held together by pure force of will and duct tape and chicken wire. So, but that is going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here with us. If you want to get more Podzilla, of course, you can go to Podzilla1985.com. Check out all the older episodes. You can also go to Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Give us a like. Watch us record these shows live. Or if you weren't able to watch us live, you can check out the videos that are just there posted on the video.
Yeah.
Or on the page. So
we got a 10-minute review of the new Cody figure. So that's
fun. Yeah, exactly. If you want to get yourself some sweet, sweet Dalton Anthony merch, go to pwts.com/Dalton Anthony.
Yep.
Get you a t-shirt before one of them disappears forever and we get that new design up, or just go buy a t-shirt so he can get an extra design uploaded on the page and we don't have to take anything away from you.
Yeah, I might just do it to be evil.
He could do it. He's a dick. What do you think? Why do you think we call him the Big D? Of course, remember, I am doing the WrestleMania Backlash watch along with this Sunday. I'll probably start sometime around the show time, the pre-show time, because with Peacock you can't start from the beginning or pause or do anything cool like that. So, but of course that's twitch.tv/the5starman, of course with the number 5 in there, and that's my Twitter as well. If you want to follow me there, that's where I usually post my updates of when I'm gonna go live, because I do, despite my setup not being where it's at, I did a joke stream last night and it made me realize how much I actually miss streaming. So, that is that. We will be back with Podzilla 1985 After Dark tomorrow night, right here. Same time, same channel. Not same time. They recorded a different time. Ignore that.
Yeah.
Same podcast network, same Facebook page. But until next time, everybody, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. You have yourselves a wonderful week. And we will see you on Sunday for WrestleMania Backlash, which is when you retaliate to a thing.